From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Trigger warning. Today's segment will include mention of irresistible hydrangeas and may prompt severe plant shopping binges in susceptible individuals. You've been warned. My guest is Adam Wheeler of Broken Arrow Nursery, a retail and mail order destination for exceptional plants in Connecticut, where an extravagant array of hydrangeas, representing more than just your average species, are part of the portfolio. There are ones with gold leaves or variegated leaves and every imaginable flower form and even a wider range of flower colors than you may know about. Hydrangeas are our topic today, so more in a moment, but first, these messages.
Underwriting support for Away to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, WhiteFlowerFarm.com.
Adam Wheeler joined Broken Arrow Nursery in 2004, where he's the production and horticulture manager. Part of his role is to be on the lookout for great plants to add to the assortment, and in recent years, the genus hydrangea has included an increasingly long list of such possibilities. He's here to suggest some favorites to consider and how to prune and otherwise care for them. So welcome back, Adam. I haven't seen you since my garden open day in May when you were here with a truck full of goodies for kind of a Broken Arrow pop-up shop in the driveway, right? How are you?
I'm well, Margaret. How are you? It's great to be back chatting with you about...
Yeah. Well, and they're always popular, the hydrangeas. That's for sure. Wow. And so much change. The palette just keeps expanding. So I wanted to, you know, sort of turn people on to that. I attended a video lecture, a webinar you did the other week about them. And that was very interesting, you know, to see just how much extravagance there is in the genus. So, you know, it seems like most every garden has a hydrangea or two or three. And it sort of used to be that there were like maybe five popular species in horticulture. But now it seems like there's even more coming, you know, into the mix. When did you see this acceleration of possibilities? Like, what's been happening?
Yeah, you know, so it is a large group of plants, and I think the plant taxonomists out there have been at hard work of late, kind of looking closely at the group, and there's been some work kind of botanically. Reclassifying some plants, so some groups that were formerly classified as non-hydrangeas have actually recently been kind of lumped into the hydrangea world. So that's kind of expanded the diversity.
Right.
And then certainly the plant breeders out there have been really looking and working hard to recognize and kind of improve upon the natural diversity found within the group, which has led to all sorts of other fun kind of unique forms and cultivars that kind of are pushing the limits of what we think about when we think about the word hydrangea. That's fun. That's what we're really excited about at Broken Arrow, is trying to bring some of this stuff to market for the average gardener so that they can get some of these fun new variants of a comfortable group that we're all reasonably familiar with.
Right. And so even though some of the newer ones may look really different, you know, I think I mentioned in the introduction, you know, some might have gold leaves or variegated leaves or different flowers or whatever, they still want the sort of general hydrangea requirements. Yes. And what are those?
Yeah. You know, culturally, they're all pretty comparable for the most part, as far as kind of the basics, which I think is comforting to a lot of gardeners. You know, hydrangeas tend to be relatively rich feeders. They have, you know, high preference for high nutrient levels and thrive in kind of evenly moist, well-drained soils. They show a pretty good tolerance, depending on the species, to variation in sun intensity. So some are going to do great in full sun conditions. Others are going to be a little bit more tolerant to shaded positions. So yeah, they're relatively straightforward plants when it comes to the general cultural requirements.
Right. And then the other thing, probably the most common question as a garden writer, excuse me, I've been asked all these years is, when do I prune my fill in the blank hydrangea?
Sure.
So just, you know, I know people will ask it in the comments over on awaytogarden.com with the transcript of this show if we don't mention it briefly here. So, you know, what's the fast 101 on that? Because I think it's like there's sort of two possible growth habits of the different species that dictate the pruning style, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And to make the best decision about pruning your hydrangeas, you need to know if you're working with one of the forms that flowers on old wood or one of the forms that flowers on new wood. And when I say flowers on old wood, what I'm really referencing is how did the flower buds develop? The hydrangeas that flower on old wood, the flower buds form on the last year's growth. So this year's flowers will form on last year's growth. And that has implications when it comes to pruning. Those that flower on new wood, what we see is that the flower buds for the current season are developing in the current season. So the new wood types of hydrangeas tend to be a little bit more flexible when it comes to pruning. We can expect that pruning work on the new wood types of hydrangeas leads won't impact the flowering for that season as significantly as a poor pruning effort on the old wood types. For the old wood types of hydrangeas, the general recommendation is to try to prune as little as possible, in all honesty, prune with caution. And the pruning work is best done early in the growing season, and that way the plants have an opportunity to kind of respond, develop flower buds, which will pay dividends in the next growing season or the next year, if that makes sense.
So like the mop head or hydrangea macrophylla is old wood. It carries its buds over, right?
Yeah, so
And yeah. And
classically, the big leaf hydrangea macrophylla is one of the ones that traditionally flowers only on old wood. There is some exciting breeding work that has kind of gone
yes.
against the grain there, but traditionally that's a species that flowers only on old wood, so one we'd want to prune with caution, and if we do need to prune, we'd want to do so early in the growing season.
Whereas paniculata, the panicle hydrangeas, they are bloom on new wood, and in fact, I don't know how they manage to put sh shoot up so many feet of new wood each year. It's amazing. And then produce buds, you know, leaves and buds and everything. I mean, it's miraculous.
Absolutely,
So
So the panicle hydrangea and the smooth hydrangea arborescens, are the
yes.
two notable species that tend to flower on the new wood. So they're pretty flexible when it comes to pruning.
Okay, so we got that out of the way a little bit, and we'll touch probably touch back on it when we talk about some specific ones. So these are plants that they have their whole own family, the Hydrangeaceae or whatever. I was smiling looking at that. Deutzia is in there, Philadelphus, the mock oranges are in there, and a perennial that I loved, Coringa shoma, a crazy perennial. A lot of them are from Asia, but we have a couple of Native American hydrangeas, and I thought we could start with those arborescence, the smooth, and then the oak leaf quercifolia, and sort of, you know, where are they from? And let's just talk about them, and then kind of what cool stuff's been going on in those.
The smooth hydrangea arborescens is native to the eastern United States. It's so all up and down the eastern seaboard. I think the northern end of the native range is in Connecticut, and it goes all the way down to Georgia, Alabama, that part of the country. These are kind of suckering shrubs that get to be maybe 3 to 5 feet high, and usually they're wider than they are tall. The plants inhabit a tremendously diverse kind of circumstance. So I've seen them at high elevation, up like 4 or 5,000 feet in elevation along the Blue Ridge Parkway, even growing out of rocks in those positions. So seeing them in very dense woodland shaded positions at lower elevation. But that species, Hydrangea arborescens, is probably one of the more durable garden hydrangeas that we can grow.
Right. And that was where we all knew years ago, PG, excuse me, I'm saying the wrong thing. That's where we knew what
Annabelle, the
Annabelle.
Annabelle
Sorry,
picnic.
I was
Yeah.
thinking of the
That's.
paniculata because there's just two sort of, forever hydrangeas in my mind.
Yep.
Annabelle. And it was like, but we didn't know anything else. But now there are things like Haas Halo, which is one that you showed in your recent slideshow, and you have it at the nursery. I mean, it's just so different. So what are some of the differences? What's the look of some
Yeah.
of the new ones?
Right. So again, it's amazing how diverse the options are out there. So even within the realm of this species, Hydrangea arborescens, we have Haas Halo, which has these amazing 12-inch diameter lace cap flowers that are great for pollinators. That it really has good strong stem structure. There's a cultivar that we're offering called Haze Starburst, which is a double flowered form. So it's like flowers inside of flowers inside of flowers. A little bit more compact, very elegant looking plant. One of my favorites, on the unique side of the spectrum is one called Green Dragon, which has very heavily serrated leaf margins, which gives the foliage texture just a much different presentation in the landscape. And that excites us because it's different. It's something much different
Yeah.
than what you'd expect from a hydrangea.
Yeah. Yeah, no, very different. And
Yeah.
you just mentioned lace cap and what's great is that with the lace cap types, with the types that have more of those fertile flowers, which are not the big flat ones like Annabelle had lots of, right? That there's more resources available for those insects to utilize, which is great. So and
Absolutely.
especially in a native species like that. So,
Absolutely. Yeah.
yeah. And then what's going on with Crossifolia, the oak leaf? I mean, I
Sure.
remember the first time I ever saw that was in an un in the understory in Louisiana, I mean, a million
Yeah.
years ago on like a estate tour and garden tours and, museum tours and so forth. It was the understory, one of the understory shrubs, the native shrub under woodlands. You know
Yeah,
what I
so
mean?
the
Yeah.
oak leaf hydrangea, really awesome southeastern US native, big shrub, 40 maybe 8 or 10 feet tall, and wider than tall as well, and those beautiful kind of oak-like leaves. I think quite honestly, the oak leaf hydrangea is my personal favorite in the group, just because it has features that carry you through the entire gardening year. So
Fall
fun fact.
color,
Yeah, fun
cool.
textured leaves,
Yeah.
really amazing kind of burgundy fall color. Flowers come out white and then they age through those kind of antique pink and burgundy tones, and they dry tan on the plants. And then you've got, cinnamon stick exfoliating twigs in the wintertime. So really amazing species, and like the smooth hydrangea, the oak leaf has a lot of fun diversity there as well. One of my very favorites is Snowflake, which has been around for a long time now, but it's got wonderful double flowers that have a pendulous structure to them, which gives the plants a much more graceful look in the garden. I love that a lot. And
That's blooming for me right now. I bought one from you years and years and years ago, and it's just so, it's really lovely. It's double the flowers, but they're not overblown. Do you know what I mean?
yeah.
They're still graceful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as the flowers mature, they kind of shift from white through those antique
Yeah.
tones, and I just adore it. It's really a special plant.
And so breeders not being happy to leave well enough alone. Why not? So now there's like even a gold leaf one here, right? I mean,
Yep. Yeah, there's
that's
a
a
gold leaf oak leaf hydrangea called Little Honey, which is a compact one. When you sight it in a full sun position, it is a really vibrant, bright kind of knockout gold color, and it becomes a little bit more subdued in the shade. But white flowers contrasting with that gold foliage is a really fun combo.
And these are hardy. I mean, I've had oak leaves in my garden, which used to be zone five, even though, again, it's from the deep south, the deep southeast, native to, I mean, they've never missed a beat and they've never failed to bloom in all the years I've had them for decades. So,
Yeah,
yeah, it's a really hardy plant.
they're
Yeah.
definitely good solid zone five plants for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah. So then the panicle hydrangeas, the paniculatas, there's so many in recent years. But before we get to sort of the exciting new ones, I'm so relieved to talk to you today because I feel like I've been going crazy in a new way, Adam, not the same old way. because I have a hydrangea question. something I've never seen happen before. My paniculatas, which are very, very old, very large plants, mostly straight paniculata, and then tardiva was a variety from a long time ago,
Sure.
all lace cap types. They were pruned at the usual time in the usual way, nothing strange, and they're just barely starting to bud up now, and it's the middle of July, and I'm thinking, what are you guys doing? What made you mad at me this year? First time ever that they haven't. Do you know what I mean? It's like, not that they're not hap going to happen, it's that they're not happening on schedule. And I thought, is it this up and down with the heat and the drought kind of stuff that we've been having, these, insults of climate?
Sure.
But yeah.
I've heard similar scenarios going on out there. I haven't seen that
Yeah.
occurring personally, but I think I've come to accept that there is no normal, consistent growing season that we're navigating anymore. It seems like
No.
every year is giving us a different set of curveballs to navigate. And hydrangeas are one of these plants that are trying to figure out how to respond to all these curveballs that Mother Nature seems set on throwing our way every year.
Yeah. So, like I said, I've always loved the lace cap types, and so I have, a lot of big tardivas and so forth. But what's going on with the paniculatas in terms of, I mean, I think I saw in your presentation, I think I saw a variegated leaf one.
There's a lot of fun paniculatas that are emerging on the market, and it's a great group. It's one of the more durable, cold hardy species. Again, it's another one that flowers on new growth, so we've got some capacity to really navigate pruning comfortably with this species. It's mind-boggling. There's probably 50 or 60 cultivars that have emerged on the market in the last 10 years or so.
And some are small and some are really full size, like the ones I'm talking about, the old timers are can get very, very large, but some are more compact also. Yeah.
One of my very favorite compact ones is called Daruma, which is also one of the first to begin blooming for us. So it tops out maybe at about 6 feet tall after 15 years or so. So about a third the size of what the straight species is capable of getting to. A little bit smaller flowers, but really nice rounded form. And it's an uncommon cultivar, but one worth looking for. So that's Daruma. The variegated one you mentioned is a cultivar from Japan called Yuki Gesho, which has a very heavily mottled and kind of marbled white variegation on the leaves, which is just stunning, especially in dense
Yeah.
shade. I love variegation in the shade because it kind of turns the lights on. It brightens up the shadows, and this
Yeah.
Gesho is a good grower in the shade. It also does nicely in the sun. That's been a really fun one for us to have. It tops out somewhere in that 8 foot size range if it's left unpruned.
Yeah. So I think, just in the name of time, we'll move on to the big leaf hydrangeas, the most sort of hydrangea of all hydrangeas, Macrophylla. I mean, I think I maybe it was in your lecture you told me that there were more than 300 varieties or something like that.
Yeah, at least 300 varieties, and
Yeah.
it's a growing lengthy list. It's really difficult to actually stay on top of all of the new variants. This, I think, traditionally is the hydrangea people think of when they say the word hydrangea, with the flowers that can shift between pink and blue depending on how acidic your soil is. One of the more exciting kind of recent advancements is the Romontant type big leaf hydrangeas, which are forms of big leaf hydrangeas that go against the traditional grain and have the ability to produce flowers both on the old wood but also on the new wood. So that's been a really exciting advancement for a subset of the big leaf hydrangeas. We adore them, and we have a broad selection of them. One of my very favorites is one called Lady in Red, which has been around for a number of years now, but it's a beautiful lace cap flower with red fall color and red stems, and even the veins extending into the leaves take on a red color.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
there's been some really fun foliage advancements. There's a whole host of big leaf hydrangeas that have kind of a burgundy cast to the foliage now, which is a fun take on a plant that traditionally we only think about for the flower power. So having some foliage options out there has really been an exciting advancement as well. We've been offering one called New Wave, which is a heavily variegated one, which quite honestly, I don't even care if it flowers. It shows off so vibrantly in the garden with its kind of mixed menagerie of green and yellow and white variegation kind of just catches your eye regardless of the spot you position it. So yeah, lots of fun big leaf hydrangeas are that are out there now.
And so I want to spend like the last 5 minutes or, talking about some of the ones that people probably haven't heard as much about. Like there's the species Cirrata, and there's, I think it's Angustipetala and Aspera. These are some that, yeah. So just sort of take us a little bit through some of those less known ones.
Sure. Yeah, I think people should be aware that there are a bunch of species of hydrangeas that go beyond the classic kind of four or five that you see in average garden centers. One of my very favorites is the rough leaf hydrangea aspera, which a lot of the literature is just completely inaccurate relative to how cold hardy these plants can be. Most literature says they're zone 7 or zone 8, but we've seen them performing in certainly in zone 6, if not in parts of zone 5. But really fun texture leaves, bold flower colors, fun structure to the plants, even that kind of cinnamon stick-like exfoliation on the twigs. There's a burgundy foliage cultivar of the rough leaf hydrangea called Koki, which has been a really attractive plant for us in the collection.
I saw that,
Another interesting one is hydrangea angustipetala, which I don't even think has a common name at this point, but we're growing a selection called Mon Long Shu, which is absolutely large, huge florets. They're almost the size of the palm of your hand. And a
So
little
wait, each little floret within the head of the flower is the size of the pomegranate?
Yeah,
What?
so the head has the sterile florets and the fertile florets. So the sterile florets are almost the size of the palm of your hand, which is just magical.
My goodness.
And there's some yellow color in there too, which is a really kind of a new horizon for hydrangeas. There's a little bit of yellow pigment in the fertile flowers of the Mon Long Shu hydrangea, and that gets us excited about thinking about what the future might hold for breeders that are looking to kind of improve upon qualities of these plants. So that's one that's been quite exciting for us to play around with. And the list goes on and on. I mean, it's not a short list of cultivars and species that we're playing around with here at the nursery, trying to understand the full spectrum of options that are out there.
Right. I mean, then there's the one Cirrata, I think, and I think that's a little bit hardier than
So
Macrophylla.
hydrangea cirrata is very closely allied to the macrophylla. They look comparable, except it probably has a full zone of additional cold hardiness within its constitution, and that really has been a group we've been really excited about. A lot of those are lace cap flower presentations, and there's some really fun foliage colors there. There's a beautiful gold foliage selection called Mountain Mania, which my friend Ed Bowen introduced a few years back, and that's been a really popular one for us this year so far. And some other fun one, Omaca variegata has it's another variegated one with kind of a knitted gold. It's almost like somebody threw a gold net over the green leaves to kind of give it a unique texture and color, coupled with those lace cap flowers. So yeah, the mountain hydrangea I think is another group that's really worth taking a closer look at, especially for those that are gardening a little colder than the big leaf hydrangea traditionally wants.
I mean, I don't know how you keep up with all of them, though. I mean, really, I mean, it must be fun. It's like a treasure hunt to
Sure.
find things, but wow, there's a lot going on,
It
so.
is. It's as I said, it's a mind-boggling group that really requires kind of constant attention to learn about the new forms that seem to hit the market every single year.
Wow. And
And
how long, sorry, go
to
ahead.
compare them against some of the classics, some of the older ones that are still really incredible plants that there's frequently a rush to kind of get the new, but we all also need to remember that some of the old ones are really still tremendously wonderful plants in the garden. Yeah, one of my very favorites is the bluebird hydrangea, which has been around forever. And you mentioned the tardiva hydrangea, which is just an excellent
It's
plant that's been around for a long time. You know, there's some great kind of old players that we shouldn't forget about as well.
Right. Well, Adam Wheeler of Broken Arrow Nursery, I'm so glad always to talk to you and to see you at when we have our open day slash plant sale each spring. and the nursery, of course, is open. I'll give all the information about that. And then you also start late summer, I think you start taking orders for fall shipping. You do mail order as well. So for some of the hydrangeas, I imagine it'll be in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
that's great. Well, thank you for making time. I know you've got a million plants to go propagate and figure out and do this, that, and the other thing too. So thank you.
I appreciate you having me on, Margaret. It's always
Okay.
fun chatting plants.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you soon again too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as at awaytogarden. And happy gardening, including with hydrangeas, meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, HighMowingSeeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, WhiteFlowerFarm.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of AwayToGarden.com and RobinHoodRadio.com.